Coming up, it's the Little Bit Podcast. A little bit of college basketball, a little bit of baseball, and a little bit of scandal. That's right. Baseball once again is entwined in a massive scandal, and this time it involves their biggest superstar. It's sad. It's true. It's talking balls. Let's do this. Welcome to episode 12 of the Talking Balls podcast. And as I pointed out in the intro, this is the Little Bit podcast. And we got a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I had delusions of grandeur. I was going to have a bunch of segments on the Major League Baseball season. I'm just going to break down all the teams and all the divisions with predictions and guess. And then life got in the way. Sometimes it's just hard, folks, trying to do everything, and it was just impossible. So to tell you the truth, I'm a bit disappointed because I really wanted to do that. And now with the opening day of the Major League Baseball season tomorrow, it's nigh impossible for me to pull it off. So I'm just going to put this together because I promised myself I'd get at least one pod out every week. So I guess this is better than a kick in the face. Maybe not for you, but it is for me. I'm trying to keep the train moving. So in light of that, we are going to take a look at, firstly, the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament, March Madness. And if you've been following it, the first weekend is done. We're down to the Sweet 16. And speaking on behalf of myself, my bracket is absolutely busted to hell. I mean, although the Aztecs are still in it, nice one. Sweet 16 for San Diego State. They play UConn next. And I also kind of pick Houston and Duke and Marquette, Iowa State. You know, it's not terrible, but like, seriously, what was I thinking going with McNeese State all the way to the Final Four? Like, as my sister Meg said, I must have been on crack thinking that that was actually going to happen. I mean, seriously. Also, putting credit towards BYU. Like, what am I doing? Like, God, they're useless. Useless. They've always been useless. They'll always be useless. And I will never, ever back them again. Ever, ever, ever. And I also need to slap myself around with regard to supporting the Mountain West teams. I mean, except for San Diego State, they're pretty embarrassing. New Mexico, no. Colorado State, okay, they got through in the play-in tournament or the play-in game, but that was it for them. Utah State, 1-1 game. Now they're gone. I mean, God. I saw some prognosticators talking about once the tournament starts, a runaway from the Mountain West. And they're right. You just can't trust that conference. No matter how strong they look during the regular season, when it comes to tournament time, they more than likely let you down, except for one team, your San Diego State University Aztecs. For all those haters out there, all the people from Dayton and Kansas, yeah, the red and black attack are still alive. And although they might trip up against the national champion Huskies, they've had another good run. So, party on, Aztecs. Party on, baby. Other than that, there's not much to say with regard to this tournament. There were a few upsets here and there. Kentucky going down to Oakland was probably the biggest shock of the first round and the first weekend. Other than that, was there anything of significance? Not really. It's been one of those tournaments where, okay, there have been some close shaves, but nothing that would shake you to your core. For example, Illinois continue to move on. Purdue, who's been a disappointment the last couple of years, they've rolled on. They look really strong. That your man, Zach Edey, 7'4", 300 pounds. I haven't seen a team that can actually stop him. He's putting up huge numbers, and he is a real force. And they play Gonzaga next, and they look really good. And Gonzaga is a team that was struggling earlier on in the season. A lot of people thought they'd never get through. In fact, the Aztecs beat them in Gonzaga. So one that shows how good the Aztecs can be, and also shows how poor Gonzaga was earlier in the season. But they have found their stride, and they're playing really well after wins over McNeese. Well done, guys. Never, never, ever supporting you again. And then Gonzaga took down 4-seed Kansas. So they're looking pretty good. Alabama looks good. Carolina is also playing well. They've had some two very convincing victories. Like I say, Illinois is through. They're going to take on Iowa State, who look good but aren't great. They had a tough game against Washington State in the second round, but they're still alive as the 2-seed. UConn's still around. Houston, Duke. That's going to be a heck of a game. Duke have looked pretty impressive, although they've only had to play Vermont and James Madison, to be honest. And they roll on. NC State, their magic continues with victories over Texas Tech and Oakland. And Marquette will play NC State. After they had a pretty good win against Western Kentucky and then a tight one against Colorado, but the Buffaloes are no mugs, so that was a good victory. And like I say, Creighton rolled in that Midwest division. They got past Akron and then Oregon in a really good game, and Tennessee looks pretty good as well. They took down St. Peter's quite easily and then got by Texas. So they'll play the Blue Jays of Creighton in the Sweet 16. Arizona also looks pretty good. They took out Long Beach State and Dayton, respectively. And they'll face a bit of a surprise in my book, Clemson, who dispatched with New Mexico and then a third-seeded Baylor in that second round. So Clemson could be dangerous, but Arizona look really tough and could make a run for the title. So that's our recap. As I say, my bracket has been busted to shit because of McNeese. Never again. BYU, never again. Ever, ever, ever. God, I hated you when I was in college. Hated you after college, and now at the age of 58, I detest you even more than anything. I really do. Oh God, they make me sick. But the wonderful thing is, they're gone now. They're gone, and I don't have to think about them ever again because my Aztecs are rolling on. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with a little baseball. Okay, welcome back, everybody. I was going to do a huge, massive preview of the MLB season, but as I explained to you, life got in the way and I couldn't do it, and I'm disappointed in myself, but what are you going to do? To do this, to tell you the truth, this podcasting stuff, I enjoy it and it's been fun, but it takes up a lot of time. I can see why people don't become top 10 percenters like us, because getting to 10 pods is actually hard. You got to be totally organized. You've got to cut out a lot of time to prepare, then actually record the thing. You got to organize guests, and then you got to edit the thing, which takes even more time than all that stuff put together. And then, of course, you got to upload it to the sites, and it takes a lot of time. So, kudos to the people who keep it going all the time. I'm going to try to do the same, but it takes a lot of time. I can see why people give up after a while because you just can't fit it in when it comes to work and you got all sorts of stuff going on in your life and blah, blah, blah. So, anyway, we're going to keep partying on. And I'm sorry, this isn't the big baseball preview that I wanted, or maybe you wanted, or maybe you didn't even know I was going to do it. So you're not disappointed at all. But regardless, I'm going to go down through the divisions. I'm going to give you my picks. I'm not going to get into huge detail, and then my World Series picks. But there's no science to it. It's just what I've researched and how I feel about the teams after the winter break and the moves that they made in the AL East. I'll start there. I'm liking the Orioles. I think they have a really good young team, and they have also added a bit of pitching there. And I think that addition with Corbin Burns to that starting pitching, that'll be a big deal for them. And if he can stay healthy, I think they'll hold off the Yankees and the Rays for the AL East title. Having said that, like the Blue Jays are really good as well, and I didn't even mention them. That's a filthy division, an absolutely filthy division. But I think the Orioles, if they can stay healthy, they're going to take it. In the hot and cold AL Central, of course, big shout out to Aceechi Belena because I'm taping this on the 27th of March, and tomorrow is his birthday, which is also opening day. So Aceechi, the hot and cold AL Central, the champions of that division are going to be the Minnesota Twins. I think Detroit has come on a bit during the winter, made some good moves, but I just don't see them closing the gap on the Twins. I also think the Guardians have gone backwards, and the Royals, although they made some good positive moves, they signed a couple of San Diego Padre pitchers, including Michael Wacha. They still have a long way to go, so I don't see them challenging there. In the AL West, tough division. The Mariners, I think, are sliding backwards, which is regrettable because I thought they were going to make big strides after their playoff appearance 2 seasons ago, but they are up against it in that division. The world champion Texas Rangers are there, but my pick to win that AL West is the Houston Astros. They picked up Josh Hader in free agency, and the rest of them all look just as good as they ever were. Alex Bregman, Jose Altuve, they are just a lineup of monsters, and I just don't think that anybody can stay with them. So I'm liking the Astros to win that AL West. Wild card, I think the Yankees will do it, and I think the Rangers will do it as well. After that coin flip stuff, I'll say the Blue Jays. Maybe the Blue Jays can slip in there, even though that's a really tough division, to pick up enough wins to earn a wild card, but I'll go with them. We slip into the National League, the senior circuit, as they say. And in the NL East, I'm going with the Braves 100%. I know the Phillies are pretty good, but I think the Braves are arguably the best team in baseball. Maybe not on paper, but I really like them. So I'm taking the Braves to win the NL East. In the Central, I'm actually going to pick the Cardinals. I think they're going to go from near enough worst to first I think they made some good moves. I think their pitching has improved. I think the Reds have had a lot of injuries during the spring, and they're kind of the darling of that NL Central. I still think they're a season away from doing any real damage. I think the Brewers have slipped backwards. They lost a lot. Forget about Corbin Burns. They also lost their manager. And I think Craig Counsell was a big part of their success over the last number of years. And a lot of people are picking the Cubs to win that division, but I think the Cardinals are going to do them. I really do. I think there's going to be an upset there. I think Goldschmidt and Arenado are going to turn the corner after a relatively disappointing season last year. And I see the Cardinals just scraping that division. In the NL West, Dodgers. I know Arizona went on to the World Series last year. It was a great little Cinderella story, but the Dodgers are just stacked. I watched the two games in Korea between the Padres and the Dodgers, and Dodgers won that first game. What was it, 5-2? Pretty much dominated. Pitching was there, the lineup was there. And then the second game, even though the Pods won it, I think it was 15-11. It was an absolute slugfest. No matter how far ahead the Padres got, it was never enough. That Dodgers lineup is stacked 1-9. And all they have to do is get average starting pitching and a bullpen just pulls their weight. They're going to win 100 games, no question. I do think the Pods, maybe a wild card, if I'm being honest, maybe, but I really think they're going to struggle in that division. Arizona look good. I think the Giants made a lot of improvements over the winter. Picking up Snell, if he pitches like he did last year, they're going to be tough. So realistically, my Pods, I don't know. Maybe they can sneak a wild card, but that would be wishful thinking. But I'll keep my fingers crossed anyway. For the wild cards, I think the Phillies will slip in there for a wild card. I think the D-backs will pick up the second one. And I actually think if the Pods don't do it, the Giants will. That is going to be a really tough division. You got four teams that actually could make the playoffs. So that's where I'm going with that. Ultimately, I think the Braves are going to go to the World Series. They're going to trip up the big blue Dodgers. And I see the Braves taking on the Astros in the World Series. And I think the Braves are going to win the title. I do. Of course, it's all got to go perfect for teams to survive and advance, and they have to put together a good season as long as injuries don't eclipse the lineup of the Braves. God forbid Ronald Acuna Jr. gets injured, because the reigning MVP, I think, is the most exciting player on the planet. And I hope he stays healthy. And I hope he does another 40-70 a year. God only knows that kid, he could become the first 50-70 player. He is that special. So those are my selections for the 2024 MLB season. Hopefully I can get organized, and hopefully I can get some guests on next week where we can discuss my predictions and get a bit more in-depth preview of the season. But that's what it's looking like to me. Go Pods. We'll be back just after this to talk about Shohei. Okay, we are back. And we are going from baseball predictions to baseball scandals. I know it's never happened before. Baseball involved in another controversy, or controversy, as you might say, west of the Atlantic. Here is the gist of the story. Now, this is a story that's about a week old. It was first reported by Tisha Thompson of ESPN. apparently she and her team have been working on this investigative piece for the last 6 months or so. And this is it in a nutshell. They discovered that through an illegal gambling syndicate, bookmakers, and we need to point out that illegal gambling, or rather bookmakers in California, are illegal. If you want to place a bet, you better be in a different state. You can't do it in the state of California. Anyway, they discovered that a bookmaker who is currently under federal investigation for being bad, being an illegal bookmaker, they found that money had been transferred from Shohei Ohtani, he of the recently signed $700 million contract over 10 years and is now a member of the Los Angeles Dodgers. So Tisha discovered that he had written a number of checks to this bookmaker. Two of them were for $500,000 each, and they also discovered other transactions totaling another $3.5 million. Okay, now this got them all abuzz, and they discovered that the man at the center of all this is Shohei Ohtani's Japanese translator, Ippe Mizuhara. Okay, so Ippe has been with Shohei since he came over from Japan a number of years ago. All right, he's employed. I think the guy makes like $85,000 a year. I don't know who pays the money. It's either the club or Shohei pays it himself. It seems expensive to me, considering he could probably get English lessons a lot less, but he feels more comfortable speaking Japanese than he does learning English. So that's cool with him. It's cool with me. You make $700 million over 10 years, you can pretty much do whatever the hell you want with regard to the languages that you want to speak. Anyway, Tisha Thompson and her team did some digging, and they approached Ippe Mizuhara and said, "Ippe, it seems that you're in a spot of bother with this gambling dude. I don't even know his name. I think his name is Bowler." And Ippe admitted to Tisha Thompson, "Yes, I have a gambling problem. All right. And I got in way too deep. And I approached Shohei Ohtani as my friend to help me pay off the debt because he was in the hole $4.5 million. All right. So Ippe went on to tell Tisha Thompson in the first interview, "Yes, I approached Shohei. He was not happy about it, but he coughed up the $4.5 million to cover my ass and cover my gambling debts." Okay, so you can take that story and you go, okay, seems pretty reasonable. Guy got into hot water. He's not good at gambling. In fact, he's really shitty at gambling. And he got a rich friend to pay off his gambling debts. All right. So that story was about to come out. And then Shohei Ohtani's lawyers got involved and they said, "Hold on. That is not what happened. All right. Shohei has been the victim of a massive theft." They are claiming that someone, probably Ippe Mizuhara, has accessed Shohei's bank account and made the transfers without Shohei's knowledge. Okay, so those are the scenarios. Now, Ippe has said to reporters and authorities, "You're right, that's true. Shohei knew nothing about this. He did not help me. The money was taken from Shohei's account." This is where it's starting to get a bit nutty. You can believe that the first story that came out, in which Ippe said, "I needed help. I got out of control. I owed some bad people money, $4.5 million, and Shohei came and bailed me out. All right? That seems like a pretty plausible story. But the only problem I have with it is one, what kind of bookmaker gives a guy who's makes $85,000 a year a $4.5 million tap? How can he allow a guy who is only making 85 grand a year to have a $4.5 million credit line? That seems insane to me. So that leads me to go down another rabbit hole of wondering, wait a minute, is it really Ipe Mizuhara who's gambling? Or is it a guy who's worth $700 million who's getting a $4.5 million credit line? Okay. You can consider that. The other angle is Ipe comes out and says, oh yeah, well, they are my debts, and you can believe that. And Shohei has bailed me out. Now, if that's the case, and that was, remember, the first story that was, if that's the case, then Shohei Ohtani, if indeed he did bail him out and was aware of these payments, he has just committed an offense because he is actually trafficking funds to an illegal organization. So even though he was trying to do the right thing by his friend, by giving money to an illegal organization, Shohei Ohtani would be guilty of a crime without question. I don't care how you slice it. You give money to an illegal organization, you are committing an offense. All right. Now, what I think has happened is that Ipe went to his buddy and said, oh, you got to help me out. I don't know if they're going to break my legs, but I'm down $4.5 million. Can you bail me out? And we're best of friends for so long. Please help me out. And I think Shohei probably said, you know what? You're an absolute gobshite, but you're my mate, so I'm going to fucking help you out. But dude, seriously, cop yourself on. No more gambling because you're obviously shit at it. All right? I think that's, in my mind, I think that's what happened. But when the story was about to break, Shohei's people realized, wait a minute, we can't admit, or we can't have Shohei admitting to transferring his funds to an illegal organization, an illegal bookmaker, because then he is committing an offense. So they decided to say, well, Shohei knew nothing about this. He has been the victim of a massive theft and fraud. In other words, he's saying Ipe Mizuhara has accessed his bank account and transferred the money without Shohei's knowledge. Now, I ask you, what do you believe actually happened? Do you believe the first story that was going to come out, which seems reasonable? Guy got into trouble. He asked a rich buddy for help. Or do you believe that a guy actually told that story and then hours before it was about to release, after being spoken to by lawyers from somebody else, decides to say, no, I lied. None of that is true. Shohei had nothing to do with it. He has done a complete 180. I don't know, folks. This sounds really dodgy to me. Investigations will continue. I believe the FBI are getting involved in this. I think the Dodgers and Shohei Ohtani have some extremely expensive lawyers who are scrambling to try to distance himself from any illegal activities. I don't know. On the face of it, I think I think Shohei was involved, probably with good intentions, but he was involved. And now, when they realized the implications, the ramifications of him being involved in something like this, his lawyers went to Ipe Mizuhara and said, guess what, dude? You're going to have to do, quote unquote, the honorable thing and fall on your sword all by yourself. You're going to have to admit to actually stealing money from Shohei's account. How a translator would have access to Shohei's account and be able to transfer $4.5 million without Shohei knowing any of this is beyond me. But that's the story that Shohei's lawyers are now spinning. Right. Okay. I hope it's all untrue. I hope Shohei is actually not guilty of any of this because he's a Super Bowl player and he's incredible entertainment. He is absolutely number one icon in baseball today throughout the planet. And for him to be involved in this and for him to actually be possibility of him being suspended and out of baseball or a black mark darkened in his name, I don't want that to happen. But on the face of it, I think Shohei was involved in something he shouldn't have been involved with, no matter how good his intentions were. And now it might come to bite him in the ass. As Fee likes to say, no good deed goes unpunished. Sad but true. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to put this baby to bed. All right, that's going to do it for the podcast. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to apologize that we didn't have our huge preview of the MLB season extravaganza, but it is what it is. We'll get them next time. It's been Talking Balls. Later.